another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.
And yes, it's the Mel and Jen Show coming at you from Johannesburg and on TV in the south of France. I'm Melanie Walker, and on the other side of the line, we have Jenny Baxter, the main creator and the person who keeps it all together for SAPeople.com. And she's looking nice and sunshiny in the south of France. How are things on your side of the world, Jen?
Hi, Mel. Things are lovely. It's sunny, sunny. I've been swimming a lot in the sea every day. And we are now allowed to go to bed. Allowed to go home. Allowed to go home at 11 p.m. But yesterday I listened to your family meeting. And it appears like South Africa has to go home a little earlier now.
9 o'clock, the restaurants have to close. I think in 10 o'clock we have,
curfew.
I don't know.
Yes.
You know me, I don't bother with the family meetings. The only family meetings I have are with my family, because those people, I'm afraid, are not my family, okay? They don't care about the rest of us. They have their own little family and they can do their own thing. So everybody's saying, well, what lockdown level are we on? I'm like, 11 to 11. Level 11 to 11, that works for me. Honestly, the only thing that it really changes is that you have to remember to go and buy booze on a Thursday, because they're closing down over the weekends again.
Yes. So when he said it's Monday to Thursday and it's in business hours that you can buy alcohol, but he said excluding public holidays. Does that mean on public holidays that are Monday to Thursday, they closed all day?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it meant if there was a public holiday on a Friday, then you were allowed to buy alcohol.
No, well, it's a public holiday today here in Johannesburg, being Youth Day, which means that I'm going to have to go and find somebody who might have some whiskey for me later. Because I, as usual, was completely unprepared for any of this, that we might not be able to, like, even buy a bottle of wine. So there it goes. But it's Youth Day, and I've got a friend, Kelly McGillifrey, who's very, very motivational. She runs events. She's got this team called The Squad. And I love reading her stories. And she sent out an email to all of us just reminding us that as it is Youth Day, that we should really be giving a thought to what they're calling them Zoomers now, okay? Because it's a play on the word boomers, which, well, yeah. I don't think you're not a boomer, are you? I'm a boomer.
No,
are you Gen X? I don't know what the age parameters are. I think I'm Gen X in my head, but Boomer, apparently my kids keep on going Boomer. So Gen Z, which are my kids' generation, they are now referring to them as Zoomers, because they should be out and about and socializing and having all the fun that we used to have when we were teenagers. But of course they can't, so they're spending a lot of time like on social media and catching up on videos and Zoom.
Yeah.
So that's why the play comes in. So they're just saying, just remember, these kids are not being able to do what we were able to do. And I know it's very frustrating, especially for us older parents, having to deal with having kids at home on public holidays or when the schools are kind of going into lockdown as well, which I was just doing just for a couple of days, just for everybody to get a reset, that their lives, this is what their lives are. And somebody was saying about these little kids who walk in and they're so good and they've got their masks on and the doctor says, okay, take your mask off, and they take it off and they put it back on. That's all they know, some of them, the little ones.
Yeah.
So spare a thought for the kids. It's not just about the things that they went through in the past. It's what they're going through now. And talking about kids,
yeah,
have we got any clarity on these apparent 10 babies that were born that we discussed last week?
No, I think they're still missing. The hospital where they were supposedly born says they weren't born there. It's all a little confusing. It's all really interesting that this even happened, this whole story. And I don't know if you saw last night, the lady did a video interview where she said she's now distancing herself from the father of the children's family and says they never liked her anyway.
And they're the ones that put out the press release, yeah?
Yes, yes. And remember, we thought maybe it was Photoshop, but it was a real press release. And it had clearly been written by a journalist, because it ended with the word end, which,
yes,
you know, only the media would know to do that. Somebody sitting at home wouldn't. So, you know, I think a lot of media houses are getting involved in just trying to find out what the truth is here.
I'm sorry, if you have 10 children at once, the likelihood is that those kids are in a hospital somewhere. There's no way that they've been born so early that they wouldn't be going into NICU.
Yeah.
Especially with that many. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would think that, you know, if I kind of had 10 children, I mean, I only had 2 at once and I would made the newspapers, for goodness sake. Yeah. You know, having 10 at once, which is the first time in the world, you would think that everybody would be all over it. So,
well,
somebody said,
isn't this wonderful patient confidentiality? And whoever does have these 10 babies is being really good with patient confidentiality. And then someone else said, look at the photo of her when she supposedly had these 10 children in her tummy, and she's wearing closed shoes. And that is something that I remember as a pregnant mother of twins, that it's a slip-slops all the way, or thongs in Australia, as they're called there. And so that's a bit of a giveaway. She really was wearing those shoes. But then it is winter and cold, so...
Well, there was also that one picture where she had her hand on something and the hand was like about 5 times as big as her other hand or something.
Oh.
So it looked like it might have been Photoshopped. But you know what? We don't know. It's one of these things that we can't say yay or nay to it until the actual events come to light.
But I do love that South Africa does have interesting stories. Do you know what I mean? We don't have that story here in France of... You know, it's like the diamond rush that's happening right now near to Ladysmith.
But tell me about this. I have noticed it, but what is it in Ladysmith? Which Ladysmith? The one with a Y or the one with an I?
The one with a Y in KwaZulu-Natal.
In KwaZulu-Natal, yeah.
Yeah, and it's near a village there, and a man, you know, found the stones and other people have found them. And, you know, they may be crystals. They definitely are something, you know. I think all
they're
diamonds,
stones, Jen. Even diamonds are stones.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and all diamonds actually start off as crystals too, actually. And then just if they get embedded and da-da-da-da-da, there's a whole process they go through. But these could be not as valuable, but something worthy, you know. And there's over 1,000 people there. On a diamond brush.
Well, I feel lucky for them. I'm happy for them if they're that lucky. It just reminds me of all of those wonderful, you know, the billboards that they'd have on the side of the road for, not for the sweat, and what was it for the one Sunday paper? With like, Sotsi stole my dog and turned it into a werewolf. You know, remember that?
Or
the,
no.
The wonderful, wonderful newspaper. I must find them and send them through to you. Like, you know, that they're having the Radium Beer Hall where, like, the situation is fraught with danger. So I always love seeing clever or really bizarre newspaper headlines. And one of the things that, you know, you sit and see them sometimes and think, oh, I'm going to go and steal that because that's really funny. Anyway, what else have we got that's just good news for?
You know, that's what social media has spoiled for us. Because, you know, like the Sun newspaper in England was very famous for its very funny headlines and everything.
Mm.
And now it's not social media, it's the internet. Because everything's digital now, you have to think of search engine optimization. So when you make headlines today, you have to make sure you're using words that people are searching for. So you can't be as clever online as we used to be able to be in print, you know? So that's one good thing why newspapers and print should continue, because there's a lot more creativity with them than
the puppy comments.
Yeah.
When people are taking the piss, absolutely. You know, use your words, people, use your words. All right, so what news have we got for expats at the moment?
Well, that they'll soon be able to watch the South African club rugby in Europe. It'll be because South Africa has been invited to join the United Rugby Championship. And that's quite exciting. Some people seem to be against it and think that it might ruin rugby. But for this, you know, SA Rugby, the CEO there said it's a watershed moment. And, you know, that we always do have to move forward. And most of us don't like moving forward. But once we're there, it's fun. And, and you know, this is going to be rugby played in exotic locations. It's going to be exposing people to lots of different cultures. And, you know, that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping for it to be more than just rugby.
It's a great thing for our South African players as well, to
exactly.
get some more game time in.
Yeah. So this is going to be fun. And we're all going to be able to watch the South Africans over here more often instead of just waiting for the couple of expats. You know, I've gone to Toulon quite often just to watch the South Africans that are living here playing rugby, the Springboks that come over to play rugby. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, how nice to be able to do such things like that. Right. What else have we got?
Well, you have it right on your doorstep.
Well, yes, of course, but we're lucky because we live in South Africa.
Akani Simbine, he won. He wasn't expecting to win. He was expecting to do well. And he won 100 meters at the Diamond League in Italy, the athletics meet there. So this is all part of his getting ready for the Olympics next month. So I think they were pretty chuffed with that outcome, and there were some top runners in it. Obviously, everybody's holding back a little to keep their best for the Olympics, but it was still fantastic. And then did you see that your favorite man, the Kiffness, has now released a duo with the 1 pound fish man?
This just gets better and better every week, doesn't it? The 1 pound fish man. I'm sorry, that was one of those things that I'd throw back.
I know. In fact, I looked at the 1 pound fish man's original video, and it was actually not so bad. But I think Warner did it, so that's why it was so professional.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what news have you got from expats? Apart from the fact I see that, and we were discussing it here at the podcast studio this morning, that Prue Leith is becoming a dame, which is great because she came and did an interview here not so long ago I can't remember what it was all about, but she came and she's an absolutely divine woman.
Oh, isn't that just so lovely? And I think she's getting it because she was advocating really good food habits at schools in England or somewhere in England. Is it at hospitals?
Okay, where is she living?
She's mainly in England, but she...
Not in the south of France.
No, she's in England, but she does go to South Africa. And I know she meant to be there last year for her birthday, but then lockdown happened, so I'm not sure if she managed to get out there. But she still has very close links. You know, she has a cooking school in South Africa. And she did a wonderful interview, which we've got on the website, about growing up in South Africa and how she had nothing. You know, she's so popular now for her food and everything. And yet she said when she grew up in SA, the Zulu lady kindly cooked and she didn't have much to do with food and she didn't even know she was interested in it until she came to Paris and she fell in love with food in France, as many of us do.
Well, talking about that, I wonder if she can make putu or pap, because I can't, and my children hate the fact that I cannot make pap. I must be about the only South African woman who can't. I have to learn. Can you make pap, Jenny?
You know, I can't really cook an egg. But Brand South Africa gave me the most beautiful book, which is sitting in my kitchen looking at me, and it's got a pap recipe in there. So maybe I'll try that this week and I'll send it to you. I won't send you the food, I'll send you the recipe.
You can send me the recipe if it works. Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, South Africans do some wonderful things overseas. I mean, and a lot of it in England, obviously. And there was another one that you got, a brooch that was designed by a South African for the Queen.
Yeah, except he didn't design it for the Queen. But, you know, this last weekend was the G7, and Joe Biden was over, and then he went for breakfast with the Queen. And, you know, the papers, they splashed more photos of her than I've ever seen, because she just looked so lovely with this fresh kind of spring dress and this beautiful brooch. And she's worn the brooch several times before, and it was designed by the South African Kevin Friedman. And it was so sweet, because I said to him, I said, don't you just love that it clearly means that your brooch is bringing her joy? And he said, you know, with every single one of his clients, he just loves that. He loves that he knows he's bringing joy, you know.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's so lovely. And he, when he designed it, it was a commission from Botswana. They were having the Commonwealth leaders in 2007, I think. And he was asked to design it for Botswana. So it's got Botswana diamonds in. And he had no idea who it was for until, I think, 10 years later, he saw a photo in a Marie Claire magazine, a British Marie Claire magazine, and he saw his brooch on the Queen. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah, how beautiful.
So the G7, is this the one where Boris got pooped on by a seagull?
Oh, I missed that. I was so busy looking at President Ramaphosa. I loved all the photos. It was just so divine for England to be promoted almost as this beach vacation, you know. It was so out of the ordinary.
And well, the only sandy beach I know in England, of course, is down Sandbanks, which is a nudist beach in Bournemouth. So all the other ones have got those big pebbles and cobbles on them. You know, not the most comfortable beaches in the world.
No, but they are cleaner, apparently.
Okay.
When they're pebbly. I don't know if that's true. It's just what people say.
Yeah, try lying on it and having a suntan. Yeah, no, not much fun. No, but the beach, you know, all the leaders on the beach wandering around. Yeah.
And so he got pooped on. But that's good luck, isn't it?
Apparently so, except the one time it happened to me when I was in Amsterdam. I went and lost 100 guilders straight afterwards, so maybe not so lucky.
I had it in Spain once. It's funny that it doesn't happen to us in South Africa. But yeah, I had it in Spain, and I was talking to a policeman, and it actually pooped on him. Neither of us could speak each other's language. I just didn't know what to say. I wanted to say good luck, you know, so it's like a thumbs up.
But it's good luck for you, yeah. We should film all of these things. It would be so nice if we could put them up and all these people, but it's one of those kind of random things.
We could give it to the Kiffness. He could do something good with it.
I'm sure he could. So watching all of them, I've never watched Gogglebox because for me the idea of watching people watching television just didn't really appeal to me. And I had some friends here, Gigi, who was part of the South African Gogglebox, and I used to sit there and say, why? Why are you doing this? She says, well, why not? She says, we watch TV. And I'm like, well, I don't watch terrestrial television. I watch stuff that's actually good. But one thing that people have been watching overseas and obviously doing so well with Oscars and everything, my Octopus Teacher. Have you been watching the people on Gogglebox watching Octopus Teacher?
I only watched that. I only watched that particular episode because people sent it to us because it was so funny. And it was and I mean, I also don't watch people watching, but I am envious of them that they get to feel that they're doing something worthwhile because they're clearly being paid to do it. So, you know, how nice to watch TV knowing that it's useful. Do you know what I mean? And not feel like you're just vegging on the sofa and should be doing something else. So,
well, I wouldn't mind if somebody paid me to watch TV.
Yeah, I kind of...
That's a good way to go.
I kind of envy them. But this one was really funny. And I think everybody relates because when you watch these people watching, you know that you went through those same emotions.
Mm.
You know, so like when they started off watching, they're just thinking this is creepy. And then by the end...
This man should leave this octopus alone. What is wrong with him? This is not interspecies love affair.
Oh, no. And then by the end, they are, you know, crying.
Hmm.
I won't do the spoiler alert. Although I think they do the spoiler alert at the beginning of the movie anyway.
Do they? Okay. Okay, so I see that you got here, and I was trying to work out why. Why has Algoa Bay become a prestigious World Heritage Site? I would have thought that the, you know, Cape Agulhas, being the most southern point of Africa, would have maybe taken one of those awards. But why has it become a heritage site in Algoa Bay?
Because of all the whales that do gather there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't hear that off, and you know, and you've got the charters there, like raggy charters that take people out to see the whales there. So, you know, the Bluff is already one. The Bluff in Durban is already a World Heritage Site. And Hervey Bay in Australia, where I've been, which is just amazing. And now Algoa Bay, I don't know why they didn't choose Agulhas, I'm sorry, but I do know that of the stories that we publish, it's always whales in Algoa Bay.
But there's more whales in Walker Bay.
Oh,
and there is
that.
A Walker Bay in Hermanus, because we went and we did that on Treasure Hunt. It was, I think, the very last treasure we actually found. It wasn't the last one that went out, but it was Melanie Walker Watches Whale from the Windsor Hotel on Walker Bay. And that's where we were watching whales. And I saw more whales there than I did anywhere else. Because, you know, of course, in Hermanus, they've got the whale crier who has a specific sounds he makes on his trumpets to tell you where the whales are at which spot. Yeah.
And I know that it's lovely there because you can see them from the land. You don't even have to get on a boat to see them.
I dived. I think it was one of my first diving experiences that I went diving in Algoa Bay for treasure hunt as well. I had to dive down and find something somewhere in the bay.
Oh,
that was a long time ago. Anyway, I can't remember.
It says in the press release about this, which only came out today, that to qualify for this global accreditation, destinations like Algoa Bay must meet set criteria, which recognizes their commitment to conservation of whales. So it's that they've got environmental, social, and economic sustainability, research, education, and they do a lot of research there. and they respect the human whale thing. I mean, Algoa Bay has also has about 800 individual dolphins there, 30,000 resident bottlenose dolphins. So it's a pretty cool place for people.
Marine hotspot.
Yeah, okay. And I hope that this will encourage even more tourism to South Africa.
Well, let's hope so. Okay, so what other bits and pieces have we missed out on?
Oh, well, there was the terribly tragic story with a happy ending. I don't know if you saw this week about three canine dogs that were involved in a police shootout. And, you know, two of the dogs, we've got the full story on the site, so I won't go into it, but two of the dogs sadly did pass away on the scene. But one of the dogs, Duke, he got helicoptered to the Hilton Hospital Vet, you know, near Durban, or near Pietermaritzburg. And it was just beautiful. You know, there's a video where you just see the policeman, he's helicoptered in, and the policeman is holding Duke and just running as fast as he can to get to the vet. It's really heartwarming. And the vet, we spoke to the vet yesterday, and Duke had had all his treatment and everything, and he'd had a good night, and he's up, there's photos of him in the garden, and Duke is making it. Duke is going to be fine, and that's beautiful.
I had a scrapbook when I was 9 years old, which was dedicated just to police dogs that had died in the course of duty. Because I used to find the stories in Remember Scope magazine and in Personality magazine, the old Personality magazine, and I used to cut them out because these dogs really were kind of like, you know, the thing that I loved the most at the time, little girls. Shame. Yeah. Now, carry on with animals, of course. We talked about Penguin Town. Has it actually come onto the screen yet? I don't know. Is it coming today? Okay, so it was interesting that just after we chatted about it, a woman who was my best friend at school, at Greenside High School, which spawned such wonderful people like Claire Johnson and James Small and Cindy Alter.
And you.
she got hold of me and said, oh, listen, who do you think would like to talk to my daughters about this thing that they've made called Penguin Town? So they were actually the people who put it together. And, of course, the Kiffness has written music for it as well, which is wonderful. So I did watch the trailer. I'm definitely going to watch it. It sounds very funny in parts of it.
I just love how they've done it. I can't wait for everyone to watch. So from today, get going. You can even binge watch it or let the treat go for a little longer.
I think I'll get my children to watch that thing as it's Youth Day. They should have something which is fun to watch. And then, of course, I'm sorry, you're going to have to explain this because I'm now looking at my hands.
Oh.
And you got this word here, baboons belong on your palms.
Yeah. So this story will be out this week in SA People. Basically, a few, you know, there have been some tragic things happening. It's been on carte blanche before with baboons in the Western Cape and, you know, trying to, the human-animal conflict and everything. And so now a few of the baboon organizations have got together. They don't want to be named by one. This is about the baboons, not about the organizations. And they want a serious sit down with the officials on the management of baboons. On going forward, this has to be resolved because just last month, another baboon, Philemon, was killed. And it's just too much now. It's not working. What they're doing now is not working. And so what they want everybody around the world, and people have already started doing it, and now we're going to be asking, please, Melanie, do it, is right on the palms of your hand, baboons on one hand, belong on the other hand, and send it to us or to you can just do a search on Facebook for baboons belong, and send it to them, and that's their campaign to raise awareness for this. So send a photo all around the world. Baboons belong on the palms of your hand.
Okay, I'll get that
written
done.
Written on the palms of your hand. They do not belong living on your palms of your hand.
No, that's exactly what I was saying. There aren't any baboons that are small enough to do that. Anyway, I'll get my kids on it, and we'll do some pictures today, and we'll put them up for you.
Oh, fantastic.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, I can see you're straining at the leash here, waiting to get back to the beach again. So go out and have a lovely time on the beach for us. Unfortunately, you know, we're still not getting down to KZN, which is a sad thing, because usually around this time we'd get a break from the cold Johannesburg weather, at least be the Varleys down on the beach again, but that's going to have to wait for a while.
But I don't see any travel restrictions. He didn't mention but some of us travel have got, last
night. Some of us have to work and try and make some work because we lost all our work last year during the lockdown. So we'll just have to wait and be patient. And children have school as well, so that's also another problem.
Okay.
We forget about these things.
See,
don't
that's where lockdown was nice, and you could have online teaching, because then you could go anywhere, but then travel was restricted, so you couldn't. Sorry.
No, then children were at home all day, every day. That's not much fun either. No, I'm joking. I actually adore my kids. Anyhow, all right. Well, have a fantastic week.
I'm glad to hear that,
Mel. We'll catch up with you again next week, Jenny. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melanie. Bye.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.